But normally, if you are a good lifter, you could lift more weight during the split jerk because the bar has to displace less. Then it's followed by the push jerk and followed by the push press. If you are a good lifter, percentages should be being the split jerk 100% of your maximum performance. Then the push jerk is about 95% and the push press is about 88% of your maximum split jerk.
Hi, Marcos. Welcome to Evidence Strong Show. It's my pleasure to have you. If you could briefly introduce yourself.
Hi, Alex. Thank you for the invitation. I'm very happy to be here. Well, my name is Marcos Soriano. I got a PhD in sports science. I did my doctoral stay at the University of Salford, where I had the opportunity to meet Dr. Paul Comfort, John McMahon, and all the guys from that university. And well, my doctoral thesis is about how to implement weightlifting exercises in sport performance or for athletic performance. However, once you get into weightlifting, you fall in love with weightlifting. So let's say at the same time with my PhD, I started doing weightlifting myself. And I also compete in weightlifting. I'm a national weightlifting coach here in Spain, and I also collaborate with the National Weightlifting Federation in Spain. I'm one of these lecturers that teach other trainers or the new weightlifting trainers in Spain. I'm also a senior lecturer in Camilo José Cela University in Madrid, and I'm the program leader of a master in strength training and neuromuscular performance. So my research line is about the strength training and how to implement different methods to increase neuromuscular performance, to improve neuromuscular performance. But specifically, what I really love is weightlifting.
That's plenty. So I invited you because you have published two papers looking specifically at overhead movements and jerk and upper and lower body strength and how they compare and correlate to weightlifting performance in split jerk specifically. So the paper we'll be talking about is called How Does Lower Body and Upper Body Strength Relate to Maximum Split Jerk Performance. But you also published a paper on comparison of 1RM performance across push press, push jerk, and split jerk. So maybe we will start with overhead exercises, and I will ask you how they relate to each other and what you can tell us about them.
Nice. I will start from the beginning if you like. Well, my doctoral thesis is about how to implement weightlifting exercises for sport performance, but specifically I focused on the overhead pressing derivatives, and I'll tell you why. So I used to read, well, I still read a lot of papers from Dr. Paul Comfort and Timothy Schukomel and, well, Mike Stone, Ian Chafta, but I realized at that time that there were many papers about weightlifting pulling and catching derivatives, and there was little focus on weightlifting overhead pressing derivatives. So let's say that my email to Paul Comfort at that time was, why nobody has studied this? There are few papers about this. And then we published this review in Sports Medicine about the weightlifting overhead pressing derivatives. And it's more related to general sport performance than weightlifters. But after that, I realized how important the overhead pressing derivatives were also for weightlifters, right? Because, well, as you can see in many competitions, I think that we all agree that the snatch is probably the most complex exercise in weightlifting. However, in the clean and jerk, there are more failures in the jerk, probably because you accumulate the fatigue from the clean, but also because the jerk is a difficult movement itself, and it has to be trained properly. So we started with this project, knowing more about the kinetics, kinematics, and also the 1RM performance between weightlifting overhead pressing derivatives. what we realized at that time that the three exercises commonly implemented as weightlifting overhead pressing derivatives were the push press, the push jerk, and also the split jerk. As we all know, the push jerk and split jerk is to the weightlifter. So he or she might choose which one to perform in competitions. And the push press is more like an assistant exercise just to improve your dip, your thrust, and everything. So first of all, was to know what was the difference between the push press, push jerk, and the split jerk in terms of one arm performance. So in which exercise can I lift more load? Normally, because, well, as we know, there are outliers, but normally, if you are a good lifter, you could lift more weight during the split jerk, because the bar has to displace less. Then it's followed by the push jerk and followed by the push press. If you are a good lifter, or if you are a weight lifter, so the percentages should be being the split jerk 100% of your maximum performance. I'm talking about kgs, so how much kgs you lift. Then the push jerk is about 95%, something like that. And the push press is about 88% of your maximum split jerk. So the point at that time was, okay, this is correct for weightlifters because they are skillful lifters. So they train these lifts on a daily basis and they got like technical mastery. However, does it happen in other populations? And then that's why we compare not only the differences between exercises for weightlifters, but also we implement CrossFit athletes and also, let's say, a group of general sporting population. I remember some of them, they were rugby players, other they did swimming, other they were volleyball players, football players. But all of them were competent at performing these exercises. We clearly saw how weightlifters could differentiate better between exercises. For example, for the CrossFit and also for the general sporting population, it was quite similar in terms of the one-arm performance to perform a push jerk or a split jerk, because they were not as skillful as the weightlifters doing that. And well, that is, let's say, talking about the differences between exercises and also your technical level, your technical mastery to differentiate between them. And then after that, we started working with weightlifters on how to improve them. So in my class, we were training, and I remember one friend, one of my workmates, my teammates, he was doing some jerks, and he was trying to be classified for the national championship. He was very good. He actually has a 130 kg in a snatch, and well, the clean and jerk was 145, which was less than the minimum to get classified. And we saw that the problem was not the clean, the problem was the jerk. And we tried basically to deduce why the jerk was so bad. So he started doing a lot of jerks, jerk technique. But there was one day when we were doing some presses, some overhead presses, and I realized that my clean and jerk, for example, is only 130 kgs. And I realized that this guy, that he is able to lift 145, so he is stronger than me, he could only lift in the overhead press 75 kgs, which is quite less than me that, for example, I can lift 85 kgs. And then I said, I think something is wrong. I don't know in other countries, but in Spain, we are, let's say, more technically oriented. So he was training the jerk technique once and again and again and again. And the problem at that time, in my opinion, it wasn't the jerk technique. Actually, the jerk technique was quite good. It was that he had had a deficit on the overhead press. So I just told them, okay, do your training as you are doing it. And now I will implement 2 times per week overhead pressing following this periodization. And well, he improved his press from 75 kgs to 90 kgs in 10 weeks. In 10 weeks. And he got 155 in a year. So he got qualified and he actually got a bronze medal in the national championship. So at that time, for that specific guy, we realized that the overhead press strength was really important for the gel. Of course, I'm not saying that the overhead press strength is more important than your drive, than your legs. Of course, the gel is a movement that you lift with your legs. However, your upper body is important, especially because you are holding the barbell overhead. So you need to be strong to be able to keep up with that position. So after that, I decided to do like a research study with the rest of my teammates and also some other weightlifters here in Madrid. And that's why we published that paper.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it is.
Question, how did you go about training overhead press? So you have written 10-week program twice a week, and what the athlete did?
Well, it was quite simple. It was, let's say, a linear periodization, a linear programming. So we started with a high volume, less intensity, and then we progressed to higher intensity, less volume. So it was quite simple because he only needed to improve his press. So he had a really high deficit. So the deficit was clear. So something very, very simple, very basic could improve him. And well, we also did the same for the rest of our teammates. And I actually wanted to publish a paper about this, but well, it went wrong and I will explain you why. My teammates started doing this kind of study, but of course there was an experimental group and a control group. So the control group started like realizing that the mates from the experimental group were improving not only in the overhead press, but also in the jerk. So these guys started training the press. So it was like, you are no longer in a control group. So that's why my study failed. But let's say that they realized how important it was to also train your upper body for improving your performance, especially during the split jerk. That's why, well, I didn't get angry at all. It was just, well, it is what it is, right? But, well, it was nice. It was actually nice to see all my teammates improving and this stuff.
That's amazing. So you didn't stop there. So you wanted to know exactly what is the influence of upper body strength and lower body strength on split jerk performance. And could we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, like, well, after this, we started doing first. It was a study that was published in International Journal of Sports Science and Coaching. I really like that journal because it's a coach-friendly journal and it's very straight to the point. So, well, there were, I think at that time, there were 61 men and 22 women. It was really good because we also could get women. And in our studies, great, because my weightlifting team, I think there are more women than men. So it's great that, well, I have access to this sample. I just did a simple correlation between the jerk and the overhead press. And we realized that this relationship was stronger for men than for women. And I remember there was one paper that Mike Stone published at that time, and that he saw that women normally had lower relative strength levels in the upper body. So, well, I wanted just to see this relationship, and effectively, the men were more correlated to the overhead press for split jerk performance. So after that, once we published that paper, I said, I need a more clearer picture or a more complete picture of this. So I need to know how the lower body strength also influenced the split jerk. I have discussed this with some people. I'm not saying that I'm going to test my 1RM during the squat and then when my 1RM during the overhead press to get my split jerk. No, for that, it's better to get the split jerk directly, right?
Yes.
But those are good to course in terms of knowing how important it is to be strong for weightlifters. Because it is not only important that you train your legs, because if you see any weightlifting program, you will see, I don't know, snatch or power snatch, then clean, then push press or clean and jerk. And then you will see front squat, back squat, you know, like, of course, you will see, let's say, the basic leg exercises. However, sometimes we forget that the upper body is also important. And that's why we completed a second study. This time they were only weightlifters, because in this first one, there were more athletes rather than only weightlifters. And in this one, we got 20 weightlifters, 20 male and 13 women. So what we saw at that time was that also the upper body strength and the lower body strength was important for both men and women. So our recommendation, more than use this equation or regression equation to know your split jerk, which can be okay if you want to have, let's say, a point, you know, like a reference point, but it's very useful in terms of knowing that maybe you need to train more your upper body or maybe you need to train more your lower body, or just have a balance between upper and lower body strength exercises.
Okay, so I have a question about it. The equation is pretty clear. There is a number at the beginning, and then you have a factor for back squat and factor for overhead press, and you sum and you get your predicted 1RM of flip jack. Now, when you will plug in back squat and overhead press numbers, and then you get your jerk and you compare it to your real maximal 1RM split jerk, how will you then deduce whether you are lacking in lower body strength or upper body strength?
That's a good question, actually. You could play with numbers on Excel, just increasing ones or, well, increasing the ones from the back squat or increasing the ones from the overhead press. And also, you should, as a strength and conditioning coach or as a weightlifting coach, know in what exercise you've got more potential to improve. Because, well, maybe you've, let's say, you've got a lot of potential on the overhead press because there are some people that they are very strong. However, you need to train more your back squat, you need to train more your squats, and it might help you to improve your gear. For example, it is quite common to see in women, especially in women, that they are weaker in the upper body than in the lower body. So for women, maybe not only implementing overhead press, but any exercise for improving the upper body, like triceps, biceps, overhead press, so whatever, it could be adequate to improve your jerk. Of course, I want to say that it has to be appropriately programmed in a training periodization. So I'm not saying that you need to train your upper body with these complementary exercises or with this assistant exercise for the whole season. So there are periods where you can implement these kind of exercises and you need to make sure that you create a strong base. And then after that, of course, the best way to improve your jerk is to perform jerks. So that's the truth. But we can, as a strength and conditioning coaches or as weightlifting coaches, we have also more training tools and we need to be aware of those. So that's why we perform this kind of studies. And it helped us, and well, I hope that more people can use these papers and this information to improve their trainings.
Okay, so I think you laid out pretty clear what is the importance of overhead strength. Could you speak a little bit more about lower body strength and its importance for specifically for split jerk? It's obvious for clean because you have to stand it up. So you catch it low, you have to stand it up. It's obvious why back squat strength is important, but I think it's a little bit less intuitive for split jerk. So could you elaborate on that?
Well, there are important papers talking about this. I know that Dr. Mike Stone published a paper, I think it was in 2003. It's called The Importance of Maximal Strength in Weightlifting Performance and something like that. And also there is recently a paper from Arthur Thekin, Association between Foundation Strength and Weightlifting Exercises in Highly Trained Weightlifters. I did review that paper. I really like it and I really enjoy reviewing that paper, because it basically says that a weightlifter to perform well in the two lifts, the snatch and the clean and jerk, he or she needs to be strong, and especially needs to be strong in the lower body. So take into account that, for example, a jerk, you've got a dip and a thrust. So you need to drive and to transmit all the force to the barbell. You need to perform mechanical work. So you need to be strong, because you will give all of this to the barbell. You will transmit all of this energy to the barbell just to rise its height. So of course, for the jerk, for the snatch, for the clean, the lower body is the most important, the most important component in terms of how strong you need to be. That's why weightlifters, they are really strong in the lower body. But as I said before, the upper body is also important to work on, right? And of course, strength is the ability to apply force. But force is a vectorial magnitude. So it has direction, it has point of application, it also has a magnitude. So you need to apply your vectors, your force vectors adequately. That's why we train our technique, and that's why we need to apply the force appropriately, inconsistencies, depending on your anthropometrics and all of this. So we need to, I don't know how to explain it, but first it could be a work on semantics, just to put all the definitions that the different manuals and papers have done for the different phases, first pull, transition, second pull. Even some of them, they say there is a third pull, and also to find a way to, let's say, have a similar factor for everyone. I don't know if it could be just looking at the barbell kinetics and kinematics or something like that, and instead of defining the phases depending on the angles of the knee or the hip, just defining the phases depending on the kinetics or kinematics of the barbell. We'll see that in the future, but I think it's a fascinating research line. And this student of mine talked to me about that idea, and I think it was great. And for sure, we will enjoy a lot in the future.
Well, we'll be waiting for the outcomes. So when we started this conversation, you mentioned that the jerk should be trained properly. What did you mean?
Well, what I meant with that, it was that you won't improve your jerk by doing back squat and overhead press. So you will improve your jerk if you do exercises or technically oriented for the jerk. So you need to perform split jerks, you need to perform, I don't know the specific name in English, but you need to perform exercises to improve your dip, to improve your drive, and to improve all of these phases of the split jerks. So that's my main point. So nobody has to misunderstand the paper. So the paper just says that for the split jerks, important both your upper and your lower body, but you won't improve your jerk for just doing more back squat and more overhead press. So what you need to work on is on your split jerk for sure. So that's why when I explained this case with my teammate, he was doing split jerks and he actually got a good split jerk. He is good technically. So he needed to be stronger, just like that. So that's why we weightlifting coaches, and when we are in training on a daily basis, we need to observe and we need to make judgments about what's happening in each moment and how I can implement different stimulus to improve my weightlifting performance. So that's what I said, or that's what I meant.
Okay, thank you. What is your favorite color?
My favorite color? Good question. I would say navy seal, navy seal blue. I think it is maybe blue. Yeah.
Okay, noted. I actually made an infographic from your study, and I think it's navy blue, red, and gray. So pretty close.
All right.
Where people can find you if they want to contact you or learn more about your research or follow what you're doing, where should they go?
Well, they can follow me on Instagram. It's MA Soriano 1991. I'm also on Twitter, is Marcos Soriano. Well, they can drop me an email at any time. If they read one of these papers, my email is there as a corresponding author, and I will be happy to respond to any weightlifting coach that has any doubt about that, or any weightlifter that just has some doubts about these papers specifically. But if they have also, or if they want to chat about a general idea of weightlifting or a more general concept, so for me it would be great, because I think that most of our research questions should be taken from the practice. So if some coach comes to me and say, look, I have this problem, what can I do? Sometimes I might apply an inductive answer. But sometimes I would have to say, well, we need to study this because I can't say that. I don't know. And I think it's great that sometimes the answer is basically, I don't know. And that's why science is there, just to make us easier to discover new questions and to discover new answers. And well, just to improve the way that we train.
Yeah, that's the exciting part.
Yes, it is.
Thank you so much, Marcos, for your time today and for your knowledge and sharing it with Alan Strong. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. It has been great. And well, thank you for the invitation.